So the question is about active, what you call active ignorance or pushing away and letting go. And there is a spectrum. I think there is a spectrum. Because when we say letting go, I think there are different types of letting go. That's why I want to talk about through the week. And so sometimes you let go because you don't grasp anymore. Sometimes you let go by, in a way, avoiding something because you know if you do it, it's not going to be helpful. Sometimes you let go by restraining. Sometimes you let go by understanding. So I think in terms of what you might describe by actively ignoring something, of putting something aside, I think it depends. Because sometimes it is useful to do that, to avoid something, to avoid being in certain situation, to avoid certain triggers, so it can be useful to avoid. And at the same time, we cannot avoid all the time. So it's kind of like, when is it skillful to avoid something? And when is it skillful that in a way to not avoid it? And so here, I would look at it again in terms of the intensity of it. That if it's very intense and we really cannot help it, then I think if we can some ways to avoid it a little bit, which will give us some space. At other time, something happens which you could say is manageable, either because you feel good yourself or because the thing itself is not so intense. And so, personally, I would look at this different element. Is it light or is it really intense? Am I feeling relatively well or am I feeling really kind of tired, ill, or whatever? And then according to that, is it better for me now to avoid it for a while and then I can go back to it later on? Or is it that the conditions are such that maybe I could try to be with it with a little bit and then see what are my limits? Because here there is also a question of limit. How much can I be with a difficult thought or a difficult feeling or a difficult situation? How can I help myself? How can I take care of myself? And at the same time, if we keep getting into the same situation, at some point, one will have to address it in some way. Or one has to avoid it all the time. I mean, there is kind of different aspect to that. Yes?
What would you say is the role of interest in investigation? Because sometimes it feels like I slip into this very passive state of observing that, oh, here comes the same shit again, and there it goes away, and all that, and it sometimes doesn't seem very active or interesting, all that. And
again, it depends the power of the habits. It depends on the way you feel. The energy you have. But I think that's why I make a little bit of a difference between the anchoring aspect, where we are with the breath, we try to be mindful and think of that nature, and then this part, which is called generally vipassana, which means to look deeply. And that can be done in different ways. There are different ways to do that. And so here, it's kind of you can look at different aspects. So, for example, because in a way, when you observe, you can observe as you say, oh, I have the same thought, they're really not helpful, I have the same sensation, you know. And to me, what is interesting is to see how often do I have them? Like, it's kind of the what kind of repetition is it? Is it I wake up in the morning and immediately I have all these thoughts, all these feelings, all these sensations? Or is it that upon certain contact, specific contact, then this arises? So that's what is interesting is to kind of see one has the impression that it's there relatively constantly. But it is not there relatively constantly in the same way. So personally, I would notice, oh, when is it there? When is it not there? Because it's as interesting. Oh, right now, my thoughts are okay. Or right now, my feelings are okay. How long is that going to last? If I have the thought, so that's the first thing I would look at. How often do they happen? When do they happen? Is there any specific contact that give rise to them? Then the next thing is to look at the shape. I am having some thought, I'm having some feeling, some sensation, some situation. And what are the conditions of that? What am I telling myself? So it's not just, to me, you can observe as in just being a mirror. So you observe, you're just like a mirror, and in a way you could say you don't engage with the thing at all. So you just watch it like you would watch television. But it seems to me what we're trying to do here is more than that. So then what becomes interesting is how do I formulate this? What's the shape of this? If there is a repetition of something, what's the shape of it? What's the feel of it? What are the words of it? What I'm telling myself? And what I'm telling myself, what is a feeling tone which accompanies this? So it's kind of in a way, with the looking deeply, with the vipassana, you're trying to not see all the elements to the same degree, because this is very hard. You have many diverse elements. But trying to see one element, well, what's the story? What is this story? Or what is a feeling tone? Because that's very interesting, the feeling tone. Is it pleasant, unpleasant? Is it neutral? So, but it's not kind of thinking about it. It's more kind of what is a shape, experiencing it. But seeing the different aspect of it, the word I use, the tone I use, what I'm experiencing, how it triggers like a certain level of unpleasant feeling tone triggers us quite easily, and to see, oh yeah, I am thinking this because I have this unpleasant sensation or this unpleasant feeling. So it's kind of what I call engaging with the material, but not abstracting with it, not kind of going into lots of theory or explanation or thing like that. So sometimes this can be also useful. But looking at what is the shape? What is the shape of that? How repetitive is it? So am I saying to myself exactly the same thing? Or does it shift and change? And the shift and change, what brings this in? And then one interesting one is also how much is it about me in terms of like what I call selfing? You know? Is it actually self-protection? Is it self-justification? Is it what's a self? What's a story of the self here? But again, not in a negative way, but is it so that I feel I exist? Is it so I feel heard? Is it what is going on there? Is it I need to feel connected? So looking at the different aspects in the experience. And also as much noticing when it's not there. To me, this is like really important, that we can have negative repetition, but we can have also time when it's not there. So just how does it feel when it's not there? Yes?
I noticed that even though I'm doing the sitting meditation, I easily use some body movement as an anchor, like the movement of my chest when I'm breathing, or movement of my pelvis, or I might move my head. Is it okay to use as an anchor, or is it like, do I disturb my meditation?
No. Because actually the breath is not kind of a something abstract floating. The breath is actually a sensation in the body. So actually to be aware of the breath is being aware of sensation. And then with the breath, often the sensation is associated with a little bit of movement. You know, because the body breathes because there is some movement within it. The lungs, the belly. So you see, I mean, there is different places we can pay attention. So we can pay attention more to the sensation of contact. For example, the air coming in, coming out of the nostril. Or you can make more attention to the movement, which could be the movement of the belly, contracting, expanding. And so it doesn't matter if you look more at the sensation of contact or more at the movement, as long as you don't impede the movement, or as long as you don't force a movement, because then it's not such a good idea. You know, you could breathe really heavily or thing of that nature. But no, of course, you can, in a way, the way we pay attention to the breath is connected to the body, and then it's kind of, is it the sensation of contact we look at? Is it the whole of the breath that we follow as a movement, in a way? Or is it a specific movement, like the belly? So that, no, it's a regular thing to do. And people teach it in many different ways. Because you see, what is important is that you can anchor. And so that you can use that anchor, that it be the movement, the sensation, the rhythm, as a point of anchoring. And as long as you are aware, that's fine. Yes?
A little bit on the same topic. What would you say about changing or alternating between anchors during the meditation? If, for example, I feel that in the beginning I can feel the breath very clearly in my nostrils, suddenly it becomes hard, but I can sense it in the belly.
That's fine. You see, it's just like you will see the rhythm of the breath, and also the fact that you pay attention to something which is fairly light, because the breath is fairly light. So then often it's going to get kind of like relatively subtle. And so the question is that sometimes it's fine to have a very subtle anchor, and sometimes you want something which is more there, that you can see more. And that's why you can move between place where it's more, you could say, nearly very neutral, there is not much to look at, and it can become faint, and then places where it becomes more obvious, and then it's easier to kind of anchor the attention. And so that, I think, it doesn't matter, because it's a breath, and it's being mindful. In the same way that in the guided meditation we're going to do this afternoon, more like a body sweeping, body scanning, going through the whole body. And then again, you can be aware of sensations in different ways. You can be aware just of the sensation of contact, or you can be aware of a sensation which is very specific. or you can just be aware in general of a part of a body, or be aware very specifically of one point in the part of the body. And I think it's a question here, is an attention on a very specific point, or is it attention of a more general? But all this is attention, so that's fine at that level. But sometimes some people need something more precise, more specific, and sometimes they might need something more wide, more open. And so I think there is also that aspect to the attention on a specific point or in a more general way. But it's all attention. It's all mindfulness. Yes. Personally, I don't think it matters very much, because especially at the beginning, we can easily be distracted, and it's a little hard to stay on one object anyway. So I think whatever helps you to anchor and to be present, I think it's fine. You know, you can start with the breath, but I see it more as you could start with the breath, then you can expand to sound, you can come back to the breath, or you can be with the sensation. As long as you're aware, you are mindful, I think it doesn't matter too much what you're mindful of. As long as you kind of feel kind of a stability within it, and that is, you're not kind of in a way trying to find something different, but more that there is a little kind of, you know, rhythm to it. Because at times, there is nothing apart from the breath, or you're just with the breath. But then if there are some sounds, the sound can be useful because they can wake us up a little bit also. So then you could leave the breath and just be aware of sound if there are some sound. And then when they go, then either you can wait for more to come or not, or you can go back to the breath. The same with the body. The body could have not much sensation. So you then is more aware in a general way to the body. Or then the body can have very specific sensation, which then you can anchor in there. So it's back to specific and general. And personally, I think it doesn't matter very much. As what is important is that to a certain degree, you can come back regularly. So in a way, what is an anchor which will help you to go back? So if the breath really doesn't work for you because it's too faint, then it might be better just to be aware of the sensation. But within those sensations, you can have the sensation of the breath. I think listening meditation is very good, but if you don't have many sounds, there is not much to listen to. So then it's better to have a little combination of the breath, sound time to time, body time to time, so that you can stay around here enough. I think that's what, to me, is more important than staying with one thing specific. Of course, if you really like to be with the breath and you want to stay with that, that's fine too, totally fine too. Anything else? Yes.
Yes, one question about when you talk about this mindfulness to search it, because this is my first time. So, are you meaning that, for example, when we are walking, so shall I aim on just to be here, and I'm now here, and searching the feelings? And where I am, or is the aim to more like get get some bigger, you know, thoughts and new pictures in the head, or just more the aim to be?
No, the aim is more to be in your experience. So, but the thing with mindfulness, a little bit, is that you use mindfulness to be mindful of, and in doing that, you become more mindful. So you use the same thing as a tool, as action, and as a result. So in a way, mindfulness has many different aspects, in a way. So the first aspect, which is the original aspect, is to remember to be mindful, in a way. So you remember you're doing the walking meditation. So the point is, can I find a way to be present here? So then that's why specific. Can I be aware of my feet? Or I can be aware of the coolness of the air. But generally, with the walking, you try to be aware of your feet to start with. The walking, you're aware of walking. Because a lot of the time in daily life, you walk. But as you walk, you think of something else. So you're not really here. So here the idea is to be here. But then within that, you try to be here, to be present to the walking itself. Then because you become more mindful of things happening, then you can see that in this moment, I am walking, but also I am being distracted. And then you have the other question, what is it I'm distracted by? And then you might then be mindful of your thought. Because that's also mindfulness. Oh, now I am in the past. Now I am in the future. Oh, now I am here. So in a way, mindfulness is kind of, you can have a general mindfulness, and then you don't have anything specific within it. So you can have just a general mindfulness. Or you can have specific mindfulness. So then you can be aware specifically of the feet. Or you can be aware specifically of what is it that distracts me? Where do I go? But the important thing is also the quality of the mindfulness, that there is this kindness in the looking at the feet, or the kindness in the looking at the thought. And then, of course, with the mindfulness, you could have over time some clarity about the change, you could have some clarity about different things. So I think it depends at which level we are looking at. Yes?
Yesterday you mentioned about putting in the right effort and using kindness as one vehicle or one way to do it. Do you have any other thoughts about how to not put in too powerful attention and effort into the practice?
Yeah, I think to me this is really one of the most important points, this one. The fact that you want to do it, you want to do it the best you can do it, and at the same time, the way you're going to approach it is really going to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this idea of effortless effort is so vital. And then the question is that, in a way, the effort required depends on how you feel. I think this is also very important to see, that sometimes you do the meditation and you feel it happen by itself. So it's nearly like you don't have to do anything. It just happens. It just has its own kind of energy, momentum. And then all the time, it's really hard. This morning, I was sitting in meditation and I was like, again and again, I would kind of be sleepy. And I was, so I spent my time trying to stay awake. So there, the energy. But I did not. I think it's how we do it. Like, I did not feel this is terrible. I should not be falling asleep. No, no, I have not, because I'm ill, I've not been sleeping well, so I'm sleepy. This is normal. But then, since I'm trying to meditate, I don't want to kind of fall asleep. So then it's kind of, how can I hold my body? How can I open my eyes so that I can help myself here, but not, but again, in a kind way. So I'm still here, still a little sleepy, but not too sleepy. And so it's kind of like noticing the different element of it. I think this is important. And also to make the difference with what I would call cultivation and effect. I think when we try something to have a certain effect. So here we try to do meditation, I presume, to be mindful, to be peaceful, to be clear, whatever it is. But that's the effect. The cultivation is just to try to be, to anchor and just to look deeply. That's what we're trying to do. So what we have to be very careful is what I call the checking. That we kind of, we do this and time to time we check, am I calm or not? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with this? And in a way to try to remain as much as we can with the cultivation of it, instead of going into the checking of it. Because when we do the checking, we're not meditating. And of course, we want it to make a difference at some point. But we have to be careful to this movement to check or to say it should be like this, it should not be like that. Because that's going to create tension. And instead, in a way, being what I would call receptivity, to be in the receptivity of whatever. I'm a little sleepy, okay. I keep the eyes open, I try to be here as much as I can. If it's going well, just accompanying that it's going well. Sometimes you feel very distracted, it's hard to anchor. Oh, that's what's going on now. So it doesn't mean that it's not happening, but you're not judging it, or you're not doing anything about it. You try to. The question is, we need enough energy. There is need to be a little bit of enough energy so we don't just sit there. And not too much energy, because immediately when we put an effort, this is a thing that happens often, is that we try to put effort with our body. So I'm going to do this. And then there is this tension, which then generally doesn't work. So what is also interesting is to notice the body and also to notice our jaw. Because sometimes we meditate with our jaw. So we're like, and as if the jaw are going to do it. And I think it's just the way we have learned to put effort. Because when we're young, we're told to do this, to put effort. So in a way, it's kind of like, how can I put effort without bringing intention? And I think this is a little the challenge of the meditation. And I think we'll stop here. Yeah.
Sorry, I have to ask one word. What is the suomi receptivity?
Vastaanottaminen. Yeah, receptivity is like when you welcome.
Yes.
You welcome something. You know, you're asleep. Okay, welcoming sleep. But it doesn't mean I'm going to sleep. It means, okay, I'm sleepy. So it's kind of like being clear. It's kind of like welcoming clarity. So you think, okay, I have lots of thought. Okay, that's what's going on. How can I be with that? I am sleepy. How can I be with that? So do I need to bring a little more energy? Do I need to bring a little less energy? But before we can, in a way, do something, we need to accept it. We need to have this clear acceptance, this clear receptivity. Okay, so now we have lunch. So during lunchtime, again, a great opportunity to be present to the food, the smell, the color of the food. And then I hope you have a good rest. And then we'll have the guided meditation at 2:30.